Thanks for tuning in to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. We'd love to stay connected with you by following us on social media at Freedom House OC, as well as our YouTube channel. Let's listen in on today's message.
Title of tonight's message is, Who's Your Mama? Who's your mama?
Who's your mama?
Turn to someone and say, who's your mama? That's right. Who's your mama? That's right. And we're going to learn tonight, because now what's interesting, and I'm going to make this connection now that I'm going to pray. But the Bible says that husbands loves your wife as Christ loved the church. The church is known as the bride of Christ. It references her in a female way. Why? Because the church is a place that gives birth. That's why the Bible says be born again. When someone talks bad about church, you should be like, don't talk about my mama, because that's where I was born. Come on, somebody, say amen. All right. Okay, Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody amen. Shouts amen. Thank you, brothers. Don't go too far. We'll be back up here in a second. All right, let's talk about this particular scripture. Now, Paul here likened it about, you know, being free or being under bondage. And what Paul was talking, again, figuratively, he was talking about how we live our lives. And really, there's two ways to live our lives. You can write this down. You can either live free from sin, or free from bondage, or two, you can live in bondage, or you can live all wrapped up. And I think you can identify people that live wrapped up or live bound up. Bound up by addiction, bound up by, you know, promiscuity, bound up by sin, bound up by habits, bound up just by all sorts, bound up by offense, bound up by cancel culture, right? Just being all bound up. But it is God's desire that we live free from all of that and be free in Christ. Now, what Paul is going to speak about here specifically in context, and I want to really bridge this with something that I believe is relevant. In context, Paul is talking about how the New Testament believers were going back and being bound by the rituals and the law. Now, in the Bible, you're going to find a very key theme where the Bible talks about the law, the law, the law, the law. And you're going to find another key theme where the Bible talks about grace, 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 grace. Now, we are no longer under the law. We are now under grace. Now, Jesus said, I did not come to abolish it, the law, but to fulfill the law. Stay with me, okay? So when we talk about the law, what was taking place in context here is many of these believers had gone saved out of the law. What was the law? Write this down. It was 613 laws that they had to follow, the Jewish people. God's, you know, obviously the nation of Israel. Jesus came, and then obviously we got saved, forgiven, and now we're all believers in Christ. But for 2,000 years prior to Jesus, they had to follow 613 laws or 13 rituals. That's what's called the law. They were given in Leviticus. If you go back to the Old Testament, you will find the Levitical law. There were laws around sacrifice, about how you would be forgiven of your sins. You'd have to bring, you know, whether it be a dove or a lamb, you'd have to bring a bull. There were laws about cleanliness. There were laws about how you were to operate. Some of those laws, you know them, the Ten Commandments. Y'all don't even know some of the ten anyway. Okay, right. But the Ten Commandments were part of the old law. You're like, I know about four. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Real quick, say the Ten Commandments. No, I'm joking. So the Ten Commandments, right? So those were 613. Now the law, listen to me, God instituted the law not so that we can feel perfect, but God instituted the law so we can realize that we need God to be perfect. It was to show us our humanity. It was to show us that there is no way Josiah Silva can live a perfect life. I need a savior, okay? Well, what ends up happening is over 2,000 years, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you see, they were sad, you see. Preacher jokes, they work every time, okay? They were the Sadducees, okay? They prided themselves in following all 613 laws. They thought, I follow the law. I follow it to the T. And they thought they were holy because they followed all 613 laws. obviously they lying. You know what I mean? You're not perfect. So when Jesus came, he introduced us to grace, that the only way we can be right before God is not by our righteousness or our works, but we can only be right before God because of what Jesus did on the cross.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
So now there are these two covenants. Remember we read how many covenants? Two. There is the law, which is the Old Testament, and the grace, which is the New Testament. When the Christians started getting saved, or the New Testament believers, they weren't called Christians, we call them that today, but the disciples started getting saved and people started giving their life to God, what ends up happening is they started going back to living ritualistic lives. They started going back to trying to follow all 613 laws to feel perfect, to feel good about themselves. And Paul was saying, no, the only way you can live right before God is because of Jesus, not because of what you do. Now, it doesn't mean we don't live for God, but we don't pride ourselves in our good actions. We worship because God died on the cross for our sins. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, what Paul was breaking down is this two things. Write this down. Legalism and relationship, okay? Legalism and relationship. And we need to talk about this because a lot of times what can happen is when you get saved, you try to serve God to earn his love. You follow what I'm saying? So I want to break tonight down how we are going to live in relationship, not in legalism or rituals or just dead old religion. Now, in definition, of course, we're religion, but I'm talking about just religiosity, just we go through the motions, blah, 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 blah. It's just dead. And there's a lot of Christians like this, huh, honey, who go through the motions.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So many. But, you know, I just wanted to comment on a couple of things you said prior. Isn't it interesting, and isn't it so common how we default back to religious ways, to condemning ways, to trying to earn, to trying to work. You know, the Word of God says it's not by works of righteousness, but by his blood alone. How there's so many times they come, people come, they get saved, they give their lives to the Lord, they receive God's grace, but we default back to a place of condemnation and guilt and regret, and we feel like we're working uphill all the time in Christ. And, you know, I think that's kind of what Paul is trying to break here, what he's trying to communicate, that we have the blood of Jesus, we have Christ, we can turn this around to where we're not having to crawling on our knees to church, but we could come in freedom. I mean, how many times do we feel like we're crawling to church sometimes with carrying all the weights of the past and the regrets, when Paul is saying you just need to come and you just need to lift your hands and come in lightweight, you know, and just say, yes, God, I'm so thankful for the cross, how we know about the cross, but it's so hard to know it and live it in our lives.
It is so hard. So I want you to write this down. So back to your notes. This is very important. I want you to have two brackets. One is legalism or religion, and the other one is relationship, okay? Religion and relationship. Now, when I say religion, of course, we're religion, but I'm talking about old, dead religion where you just do things and, you know, I just go to church because that's what I do. Like, just that's, God didn't call us to religion. He called us to relationship. But I want to say this because here's what happens. So here's how you know if you're serving God out of religion or relationship. Religion says, I obey, therefore I'm loved. But relationship says, I'm loved, therefore I obey. So back to what my wife was talking about, what Paul is trying to break is this religiosity that I obey to try to get God to love me. That's not the way God called you to serve him. We obey because we're loved. I'm loved, therefore I obey. I'm not obeying trying to get God's love. And there are so many believers that you, the reason you obey, you're trying to earn God's love because maybe you didn't have the love of your earthly father or the love of your earthly mother.
Wow. You
actually have a works-based love with God that you think that you're trying to earn, like you got to do more for God to love you. Listen, God loves you. He loves you, and you don't got to try to obey to try to get him to love you. He already loves you, so you got to say this, I'm loved, therefore I obey.
Therefore I obey.
It's not I obey so I could be loved. And we think like sometimes most people think like God lets you sneak into his family, you know, and like if he finds out that I'm here, he's gonna tell me to get out. You know what I mean? It's like, no, God loves you. He gave his son to die for you, and you need to understand that. So again, you know you're serving God out of religion or old school thinking is because you are trying to earn God's love, and that's not possible, okay? It's not possible. God already loves you. Okay, let me go to number two. You got something you want to say? Please, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's why I see so many people that serve God out of fear. Fear is the opposite of love. You serve God out of fear, and you don't serve God out of the abundance of love, and how the Lord says, or the Word of God says that perfect love casts out all fear. And if you have fear, then his love has not yet been perfected in you. And if you're serving God out of fear, you know, and there's different kinds of fear, but the fear, you know, of thinking that God is mad at you. There's so many Christians, honey, that think that God's mad at them. There's so many believers that think that God is angry with them, that he's just this mean, white-bearded man upstairs that is just ready to strike them with lightning any moment that they mess up. And no, God is not like that at all. As a matter of fact, it's your relationships here on earth that have caused you to probably think those things. I mean, I'm just assuming, you know what I mean? That's probably some things like Pastor said about, you know, your father, your relationship with your father has a lot to do with it, how you view those things. But God is not out there to get you. He is out there to love you, to forgive you, to give you an abundance. I mean, you read all in the scriptures about how abundant his love is for you. If we can serve God at a place of love rather than a place of fear, I believe that there will be so many more strongholds. There will be so much more freedom in the church. There will be so much more joy, you know, because that's the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy. There will be those things if we serve God more out of love and not out of fear.
And I think a lot of that has to do with our failures. And what I would say is when you have failed, sinned, what you need to know is that God still loves you, but he wants to bring the best out of you. You can run to him, okay? So, good. Number two. Team, if you could follow along with me and throw these on the comments, you would be next level, okay? Second, here's what religion says. Religion is I obey God to get things. Relationship is I obey God to get close to God and enjoy him. Religion is I obey God to get things from God, but relationship is I obey God to get close to God. The difference is things in God. So are you serving God to try to get something, or are you serving God to just get God? And this, again, going back to rituals, back to religion, and Paul, Paul is trying to tell the church, he's like, listen, God made you a promise through Sarah, you're to live free, and God's going to come through when he comes through, but don't serve God only because what you're going to get out of it. That's when relationship becomes dead. That's when church gets disappointing, because I've seen so many people, like they serve God for 6 months and they'd be like, oh, you know what? God didn't come through. It's like, when did you think that serving God was to get something? Like, he's not a slot machine. You know, we serve God to get God. Yeah. He's good. He's enough. Say amen. Amen. Like, let me just say this. If your whole life God didn't answer any of your prayers and all you got was him, is he enough? That's a gut check, right? Because it's like, well, no, if he hooks me up with that job, if he hooks me up with that girl, if he hooks me up with that guy, if he gives me that new house, if he gives me that new car, if he gives me a good life, like what are we talking about? That's not relationship. Right. Relationship is I obey to get close to God. I don't obey to try to get something from God, to try to get, you know, that's not relationship. Again, that's religion. That's transactional. God didn't call us to a transaction. He called us into a transformation. Transform my heart. So the question I ask is God enough? If all you got is him, is he enough? Honey, if I never bought you anything, am I enough?
Well, that's different.
Ah, come on, somebody.
That's different because
I tried to throw that one in there.
You're my husband.
I was trying to slide that in. You know, like if I never
got. Hey, I'm all about truth. I'm going to answer truthfully. Yeah. No, honey, you got to take care of me.
No, that's funny. Yeah. You're funny. Point
you're
is,
enough, baby.
Honey,
you're enough. I love you.
You're
I
enough.
Love you. Yes, you're enough. Yes.
Okay, I'm not God, but the point is, you're enough.
Yes.
And the point is, if God never gave you nothing, is he enough? And the truth is, if you can't serve God to only get God, then you have religion, not relationship. Boom. I feel like we could close the night right there in Jesus' name. That means, again, you're serving out of Ishmael. You're serving out of Hagar mentality, which is you're trying to make things happen out of the flesh instead of birthing it out of the spirit. And there's so many Christians like again, and I believe sometimes this goes out to whoever has ears, let them hear. I believe sometimes God lets you wait for that blessing. You don't think God can bless you with what you need right now? You got to ask yourself, God, why haven't you given to me? Maybe because God says, because you still think that as soon as I give it to you, you're going to leave me. And God won't give it to you. I'm telling you, God knows that God. Hebrews, the Bible says, chapter 4 and verse 6, it says that he checks the attitudes of our hearts. And so God knows our motives. And I believe God won't even answer your prayer. He'll let you pray. And he's like, your motive is still wrong. Because I've seen people. Listen, I've been pastoring for almost 13 years, y'all. 13 blessed years. 13 years. And I've seen people, they cry, Lord, come through. And I will pray. I just want this. And then God gives to them. And then they backslide. They leave.
Yeah.
So what was the truth? The truth is they didn't want God. They wanted something from God. And religion will never save you.
I've seen that.
Only relationship.
That's right.
It's God, I want you.
Yes.
Nothing else.
Yes.
And nothing else will do. I just want you.
Nothing else.
I got her to sing. Nothing else. Nothing else will do.
Caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet, caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave.
That's it. I'm not here for blessings.
Jesus, you don't owe me anything. More than anything that you can do.
Watch that.
I just want you.
I just want you. Hallelujah. Y'all better give God some praise. Come on now.
Amen.
So religion, are you trying to get something out of God? Again, you will be disappointed because a lot of things, God answers, let me just say this. God answers every prayer. God answers every prayer. You ready for this? You're not going to like my answer. But I'm a pastor you anyway. Sometimes God says yes, and sometimes God says no. It's just we have a problem when God says no. But I prayed. God says, I know, but I don't want to give it to you. My son asked me for all kinds of stuff. No. My daughter, no. I love him, but it's like, no, I don't want to give that to you. You're not ready for it. Or no, you don't need that.
Well, sometimes it's not no or yes, it's not yet.
Hey, that's the third option. Mm-hmm. But let me just start with no, because sometimes we could have a false expectation like, well, maybe God doesn't want to give me yet. No, it's a no. And if he does, maybe. But right now it's no. And if you backslide because you got a no, you never had a relationship. You were in a religion. You were in rituals. No. And if it's never, then it's never. It's cool. Because God, if all I got is you, that's enough. And what happened with Abraham, he had a promise from God, but it was a no, and he knew maybe not yet, but what did he do? They got in the flesh, and let me go hook up with Hagar, and he tried to make it happen, right. And now trying to make it out of disobedience, drama, and all that. And that's what happens. And again, you know, practical sense, I see a lot of single people do that too. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, oh, I'm believing God for a godly man. And then they're like, I haven't found him in 3 months. So they go look at the club.
Well,
you try to do that out of the flesh. Preach somebody. So you know, I say it all the time. So you got to make sure that you are trusting God. Yeah. Number three, how do you know you're in religion? Is when things go wrong, you run from God. A relationship, when things go wrong, you run to God. So religion is when things go wrong, you run from God. Because you think, I didn't meet your 613-point standard. So you run from him. That shows that you viewed God that he only likes you when you're at a perfection. But you know you're in a relationship when you don't measure up and you don't run from him. You run to him because you know he loves you. And you go, God, I messed up. Would you help me get better? And you go, thanks, God. Thanks you that you love me. And then he coaches you. He'll correct you sometimes. Like, well, don't do that. You're right, Lord. You're right. I messed up. And then he believes in you. He builds you up. And the Holy Spirit fills you. He forgives you if you repent. Again, I'm just telling you. Because see, what Abraham did is he didn't run to God. He ran to his flesh. He tried to make it happen. And he gave birth to an Ishmael. And some of us, we have given birth to metaphorical Ishmaels that are now become a problem in our lives. Yeah. And so you've got to come back to that. So someone say, run to God. Say, run to God, don't run from God. And this often happens again. I guess I just, the chronicles of a pastor. You know, when you start pastoring for a while, you got stories, you know, like yes. People will tell me, they'll like, people will come after a while and maybe they haven't been to church in a while and they'll be like, oh, pastor, sorry, haven't been to church in a while. I've been going through stuff. And in my head, I'm going, that's when you're supposed to come to church. Like, who told you when you're going through stuff, you don't go to church? Like, but that shows me that someone taught them religion. That when they're not doing good, they shouldn't come to church. It's like, that's when you're supposed to go to church. Yeah. Like, come, bring your junk, bring your garbage. Just bring it to the altar, man. Imagine you telling, you know, as an under-shepherd, as a pastor, as apostolic leader, you know, that my role is like a doctor. Jesus said, the physician comes for those that are sick, not those that are healed. But imagine you going to the doctor and say, yo, doctor, sorry, I haven't come to see you because I've been sick. He's like, bro, that's why I'm a doctor. So when you're sick, you come to the hospital. You know, that's the same thing when a believer says, I've been messed up, I haven't come to church. It's like, but see, the devil makes people believe that when you're not doing good, run.
Right, right.
Caught up in your presence. Okay.
Man, that's why there's Romans 8:1 that says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because the Lord knows that you're going to be accused by the enemy. The Lord knows that the enemy is going to be out there to get you, to press your buttons, to do anything to get you not only away from God, but away from community, away from the house of God, away from your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because faith comes by hearing and by hearing of the word of God. And if you're not in a place of hearing the word of God, your faith, you're putting yourself in a position where your faith is going to diminish little by little. See, God wants us to go from glory to glory. And sometimes it's leaps and bounds, glory to glory. And sometimes it's little by little, glory to glory. But listen, when you're away from the house of God, you're away from community. You're not in connect group. You're not connecting with anybody in the house. You are going to find a connect group outside of the house of God. And it's going to take you little by little in the opposite direction into a place of condemnation and shame. And then you're going to find excuses and reasons why you should never come back to church. Oh, I tried church. I tried Jesus. And those are all just lies from the pit of hell. We're deep down inside. And I just feel right now, honey, I just feel that somebody's watching right now, that you're in this position right now. You press this link and you're watching right now and you're just getting hit right now with the love of God. Not the anger of God, but the love of God saying, come back. Come back to the house of God. Come back to the feet of Jesus. He wants you. He loves you. He wants to forgive you of all your sins. He wants to wipe away your tears. He wants to embrace you. He wants you to get back in the house of God and stop feeling the shame and the guilt and the condemnation that the enemy has been lying to you, that God doesn't want you anymore, that you're damaged goods. And you know, I feel like also another thing I want to say is that and we didn't kind of get to it in here, but I'm just going to throw it out right now. But so many women, if I could talk to the ladies real quick. Can I talk to the ladies real quick? Is that okay? All my ladies out there. So many women relate more to Hagar than to Sarah. You think you're a Hagar, a single mom maybe, with an Ishmael son. You think, I'm never going to be a Sarah. My son's never going to be an Isaac. And you feel like you're second class, second choice, second class goods, that you're the mistress, you're never the wife, you're the lusted one, you're never the loved one. And we relate so much. I've seen so many we relate more of who Hagar is than what Sarah is. You think you're a daughter of Hagar. But you're not called to be a daughter of Hagar. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what your baby daddy said to you or how he treated you, abandoned you, ignored you. It doesn't matter. You are still, my dear, a daughter of Sarah. And your son is not an Ishmael. That is not his line. That is not his inheritance. That is not his promise. He's an Isaac. So these women who think that they're Hagars are raising sons to think and live like Ishmael. But you have to remember who you are. You are not a daughter of Hagar. You are a daughter of Sarah. Therefore, you have to treat your children like Isaacs. children of promise. Not children that are being cast away, that are saying, no, that's not who your son is. That's not who your daughter is. And I just want to just speak life into any woman or any single parent, every single father even that is watching right now. And you're saying, man, I've always felt left behind. I've always felt like I was, you know, just brought in and you know, whatever happened, and that I'm a slave to my past, and I'm a slave to my sin, and I'm a slave to my mistakes. No, you are forgiven. You are loved. You are washed with the blood of Jesus. You are brought into the inheritance of Christ Jesus. You are promised heaven. You have a legacy. You are a daughter. You are a son of Sarah and not of Hagar. This promise is yours. This inheritance is yours. Stop laying your head low. Stop walking around with all these pains and all these offenses and all these hurts. Stop walking away from the church doors thinking that you're not even allowed to come in. You are a one and only child of God. You are loved. You are precious. You are a child of promise. That's you. You're a Sarah. Amen. You're an Isaac.
Go ahead.
That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Put your hand on your chest, on your throat, wherever you feel it's pressing on your heart right now. Put your hand on your heart and say, I am a child of promise. No longer a slave. I don't identify with Hagar any longer. I'm a daughter of Sarah. I'm a daughter of Sarah. Amen. Just felt led to pray for someone.
It's powerful.
Maybe,
honey.
Going through some My thoughts
God.
Like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I mean, we could end it right there because that's the truth. You know, so often we feel like we're Hagar in the story, you know, and as men, even as women, Ishmael or Ishmaelias, you know what I mean?
Well,
ladies.
So many men relate more to Ishmael.
Yeah,
been
Isaacs.
Abandoned by their father.
Yeah, right, right.
You think you're an Ishmael. You never see yourself as a son that's loved. That is a son of promise that carries strength and authority and a legacy in your name. I don't care if your earthly father left you, abandoned you, hurt you. It doesn't matter. What matters is who your heavenly father is. And he's not calling you an Ishmael, man of God. He is calling you an Isaac.
Thank you, Lord.
And restoring to every man that is watching and that has been hurt by their father or hurt by a man. I want you to know that you are a child of promise. And you as well are not second class.
That's great.
You're not second class. You're
Thank
first.
You, Jesus.
In the eyes of God, so he good. Loves you. His eyes burn with fire for love for you. You're special. Mm. You're important. Amen. You have a purpose. And you're loved. Will you believe that and receive that tonight?
Yes.
Will you believe that? And will you just smudge it in the devil's face that has been telling you otherwise?
Yeah.
And say, no. I don't call myself Ishmael anymore. My name's Isaac.
So good. I love it. Last one I was just going to say is, write this down, religion, relationship. Religion is I have to. Relationship is I get to. It's an honor. Come on, honey, let's stand up. So good. Come on, wasn't that powerful? How many love Bible study? Come on, somebody. Just sing this. I just want you to sing.
Thanks for joining us today. We pray you were encouraged by this message. Show us your support by sharing your favorite podcast on social media and subscribe to our YouTube channel @Freedom House OC today. See you next week.